From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Minister Luhut Panjaitan to reopen tourism in Banyuwangi next week. Minister Nadiem Makarim urged to establish roadmap of online learning. Now the news in details. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Panjaitan is set to reopen Banyuwangi in East Java and Bali for tourism in the next few days as part of the government efforts to gradually revive the tourism sector amid the COVID-19 pandemic. He said that this would take about a year for the country's tourist sector to fully recover from the multifaceted ramifications of the ongoing pandemic. He added that he expected the gradual reopening of the sector to contribute to an increase in airline passengers and bolsters the aviation industry during this tumultuous period. The Commission Head of the House of Representatives DPR overseeing education, Saiful Huda, urged Minister of Education and Culture Nadiem Makarim to create a roadmap of distance learning program related to the availability of smartphones. According to Huda, the problem via the online learning is that many school children have found difficulties in following such an education program as they lack the needed facilities and infrastructure. The Indonesian Teachers Union Federation, FSGI, made similar statements. Reports of the online learning program in the second phase or first semester of the academic year 2020-2021 showed obstacles that many students did not have a smartphone, not only those in regions, but also Jakarta greater area. The Indonesian Embassy in Panama City, in collaboration with Jelantas Ocean Panama, a Taiwanese-owned shipping company, has successfully repatriated 39 Indonesian crews working on fishing vessels from Panama City to Indonesia by using humanitarian aircraft. Reinhard Sinaga, acting protocol and counselor function at the Indonesian Embassy in Panama City, in his statement to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Sunday, said that the repatriations of Indonesian crews was carried out in three waves, namely July 7 as many as 9 people, July 14 as many as 12 people, and July 21 as many as 18 people. Reinhard Sinaga further said that in this repatriation, the Indonesian Embassy in Panama City intensively coordinated with various parties to help facilitate the repatriation of the Indonesian crews.
Dalam pemulangan ini, KBRI Panama City.
In this repatriation, the Indonesian Embassy in Panama City coordinated intensively with Jelantas Ocean Panama, as well as Indonesian crew agent who were in Indonesia, as well as with relevant authorities in Panama to help facilitate in terms of diplomatic channels regarding permits to be disembarked from the Minister of Health in Panama and the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Panama, issuance of travel certificates for Indonesian crews and other related matters from the government of Panama. The repatriation costs are entirely borne by the Jelantas Ocean Panama Company. Reinhard Sinaga further stated that the Indonesian crews use a humanitarian flight organized by KLM flight from Panama to Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and continued with a commercial plane via Doha, Qatar to Jakarta. In his statement, Reinhard Sinaga said that upon their arrival in Jakarta, the Indonesian crews underwent health protocols established by the Indonesian government to ensure that they are healthy and are not infected by the COVID-19 virus before they can go to their respective home. The Yogyakarta administration was preparing itself to be ready to reopen tourist destination next month ahead of a new normal era following months-long COVID-19 closure. The Regional Virus Mitigation Task Force head, Piwara Yuswantana, said in a virtual press conference on Sunday that his units must ensure those operators of hotels, restaurants, shopping centers, and other supporting aspects implement the protocols. The government has developed an application, namely Jogja Pass, to supervise and record the number of tourists entering a tourist attraction systematically. The data must be in line with the maximum capacity allowed during a transition period to a new normal era. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We're moving on to the international news. Hong Kong will stop most ships from changing crews in the territory from Wednesday on July 29 to cut back on quarantine exemption blamed for causing the third wave of coronavirus cases. The government announced a slew of measures to tighten quarantine exemption on Sunday as the city recorded 128 new cases in the previous 24 hours, bringing the total to 2,634 with 18 deaths. Most of the new cases were locally transmitted. From Wednesday, July 29, only vessels with freight destined for Hong Kong will be able to change crews, but even they will not be allowed to mingle in public and must go straight to or from the airport or stay in a designated quarantine venue. North Korea has reported that it describes as the country's first suspected case of the coronavirus. State media said a person who defected to South Korea 3 years ago last week returned across the demarcations line with COVID-19 symptoms. Leader Kim Jong-un held an emergency meeting with top officials imposing a lockdown in the border city of Kaesong. News agency KCNA said a runaway who went to the South 3 years ago, a person who is suspected to have been infected with the vicious virus, returned on July 19 after illegally crossing the demarcation line. On Sunday, a South Korean military official said there were high chances that an individual had illegally crossed into the north and that an investigation had been launched. Moroccan authorities announced a ban on entry and exit from 8 cities of the kingdom due to an increase in the COVID-19 cases. Entrance into the city of Casablanca, Tangier, Tetouan, Fez, Marrakech, Meknes, Bereshit, and Settat is prohibited starting Monday night, according to a press release from the Moroccan Interior Ministry and Health Ministry received by Sputnik. The decision was made in connection with a significant increase in recent days in the number of cases of coronavirus in these cities. Moreover, the majority of citizens do not comply with precautions such as social distancing, wearing masks, and using disinfectant. The decision does not affect those who urgently need medical attention and employees of enterprises that have received special permits from local authorities. Freight transport is also not subject to the ban. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled To Make Simultaneous Election 2020 Successful. The Indonesian government and the House of Representatives DPR agreed to keep holding regional elections simultaneously, even in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic. According to the plan, the election will be held on December 9, 2020, in 270 regions throughout Indonesia, covering 9 provinces, 224 districts, and 37 cities. Even though it is to be held amid the COVID-19 pandemic, all Indonesian people, especially in the regions to carry out the election, are expected to make it successful. Acting Secretary General of Home Affairs Ministry, Muhammad Hudori, said in Jakarta on Sunday that the simultaneous election 2020 is a national agenda. This national strategic program must be implemented successfully. The simultaneous election in 2020 will continue to be held after being delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It was originally to be carried out on September 23rd. but was postponed to December 9, 2020. Meanwhile, the campaign will take place from September 26 to December 5, 2020. Chairperson of the General Election Commission, Arief Budiman, stated in Surabaya East Java on Sunday that the open campaign in the election next must follow the health protocols. For example, every voting booth must be attended by a maximum of 40% of the capacity of the place or room. In addition, for direct campaign activities, the campaigners must also have recommendation from the task force for handling COVID-19. To ensure mutual safety amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the implementation of the 2020 regional head election also gets an additional budget from the government that will be used at each stage to provide personal protective equipment, vitamins, and rapid tests for officials so as not to contract the COVID-19 virus while working. The regional head elections this time is indeed different from previous ones, because it is carried out under abnormal condition when Indonesia, like other countries in the world, is still dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. As a result, in addition to being carried out in accordance with democratic principles, this year's regional head election must also prioritize health protocols to ensure safety. Hopefully, the 2020 simultaneous regional election can be carried out safely, peacefully, and successfully, and result in qualified regional heads. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. 5. Medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
In our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on July 27, 1921, when insulin hormone was discovered. Researchers from University of Toronto, Canada, led by biochemist Frederick Banting, announced the discovery of the insulin hormone on July 27, 1921. The University of Toronto is the largest one in Canada, which was established on March 15, 1827, and it is well known in the field of research, especially medicine research. The first man given insulin was Leonard Thompson, 14 years old, suffering from diabetes at a Toronto hospital. A miracle came in less than 24 hours on which dangerous glucose levels dropped, and Thompson survived from that. In 1923, Dr. Banting and MacLeod received the Medical Nobel Prize for the discovery of the insulin hormone.
The next event was on July 27, 1953, when the Korean War ended. The Korean War was a war because of a conflict between North Korea and South Korea. The war that happened from June 25, 1950 to July 27, 1953 was also called as a mandated war between the United States and its UN allies and communists of China and the Soviet Union. The main war participants are North Korea and South Korea. South Korea's main allies included the United States, Canada, Australia, and United Kingdom, although many other countries sent troops under the UN flag. North Korea's allies, such as the People's Republic of China, provided military power, while the Soviet Union provided war advisors and airplane pilots, as well as weapons for Chinese and North Korean forces. The last event was on July 27, 1996, on the Grey Saturday event. The event on July 27, 1996, often called Grey Saturday, is the event of the forced takeover of the Central Leader Council office of the Indonesian Democratic Party, or PDI, on Jalan Diponegoro, Central Jakarta, which is controlled by Megawati Soekarnoputri supporters. The raid was conducted by a mass of Suryadi supporters, General Chairman of the PDI Congress in Medan. This tragedy triggered mass riots in several areas in Jakarta, especially in the area of Jalan Diponegoro, Salemba, and Kramat. At that time, the government accused activists of the People's Democratic Party, or PRD, as the trigger of the riots. Then the New Order government hunted down and brought PRD activists into prison. The PRD leader Budiman Suyatmiko was heavily sentenced for 13 years in prison, but now he is a very critical member of the House of the Representative from Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, or PDIP. And listener, that was Today in History.
Aku berjalan menyisir malam dan tak terasa dingin menerpa. Aku berjalan menahan perih dari hati yang telah rapuh. Malam-malamku semakin pilu, entah mengapa asa merajuk. Suara hati lirih berdesir menerangkan lara hati. Jangan tanya mengapa bila akhirnya kita terpisah. Tuhan tak pernah salah.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Ministry of Trade increases fashion and handicraft export to the USA. The Ministry of Trade through the Los Angeles Indonesian Trade Promotion Center seeks to increase the market share of fashion and handicrafts in the United States of America. Head of the Indonesian Trade Promotion Center of Los Angeles, Bayu Nugroho, through his statement in Jakarta on Friday, said that export will continue to be increased with more creative ways in a bid to maintain the market share of fashions and handicrafts in America, especially amid the COVID-19 pandemic. In 2019, the USA imported cloth products from the world amounting to $84.7 billion. Indonesia is in the fourth position of clothing exporting countries to the USA with a total of $4.43 billion. Of this value, Indonesian export to the United States for knitwear products reached $2.21 billion and non-knit clothing reached $2.22 billion. The American West Coast is the work area of the Los Angeles Indonesian Trade Promotion Center, which includes the Indonesian Consulate in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Houston, which consists of 21 states in the USA. In 2019, Indonesia was ranked 7th largest exporter of handicrafts to the United States, with total exports reaching $482 million. The handicrafts are leather products, bags, and travel goods. Bayu Nugroho further said that the increase in the value of Indonesian export, especially fashion and handicraft products, is a good momentum for the government to keep maximizing the opportunities for exports of national products. One of the efforts undertaken by the Los Angeles Indonesian Trade Promotion Center during the COVID-19 pandemic was to hold a virtual business matching assessment for fashion and handicraft products. This involves 5 export-oriented small and medium enterprises for fashion products and 7 for handicraft products. Bayu also asserted that now it is the right time for the government to encourage the performance of Indonesian export to the USA and prove Indonesia has good quality products at competitive prices. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Wajahmu selalu terbayang dalam setiap angan yang tak pernah bisa hilang walau sekejap. Ingin selalu dekat denganmu, enggan hati berpisah. Larut dalam dekapanmu setiap saat. Oh kasih, jangan pergi, tetaplah kau selalu di sini. Jangan biarkan diriku sendiri larut di dalam sepi. Oh kasih, jangan pergi, tetaplah kau selalu di sini. Jangan biarkan diriku sendiri larut di dalam sepi, larut di dalam sepi. Oh, 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 kasih jangan kau pergi. Terlalu dalam belayanmu akan pergi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now will present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Kambang Iwa Tourism Park in South Sumatra. Listener, Kambang Iwa Tourism Park is a beautiful park with a lake. This park is visited by many Palembang residents or tourists from outside Palembang city. The park located on Jalan Tasik
Palembang is a favorite tourism object. Usually, tourists enjoy green environment and some buildings of the Dutch heritage. The location becomes one of public facilities to get together because the park is completed with supporting facilities. The location of Kambang Iwa Tourism Park is not far from the downtown of Palembang City. It can be easily accessed by public transportation. There is no entrance ticket to enter this area. Entering the Kambang Iwa Park, you will be welcomed by green lush trees. At the middle of the park, there is a lake which is clean and equipped with a fountain. In addition, it is also completed with facilities which make the visitors be able to stand longer over there. There are also jogging tracks for workout and benches at the side of the lake. At the park, there are also many food stalls which serve various kinds of menus. The best time to visit Kambang Iwa Tourism Park is in the morning and evening because at that time, the atmosphere at the park is fresh and comfortable to enjoy it. Because of its strategic location, the park becomes a gathering place of youths to conduct some activities such as playing skateboard, dancing, playing guitar, and many others. At night, tourists can also enjoy beautiful sparkling with decorative lights that surround almost every corner of the park. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kambang Iwa Tourism Park in South Sumatra. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Pertemuan ini, kau terlihat indah sekali. Tersenyum di antara gundah, memilih kata untukku. Bukankah kita pernah berjanji tak akan sesali kisah ini, jika inilah yang terakhir kalinya kau dan aku bisa bertemu. Terima kasih untuk pernah mencoba menerimaku dengan segala.
Terus siapa?
Nanti juga kamu tahu.
Kau dan aku bisa bertemu.
aku pun bahagia jaga dirimu di dirimu di sana.
Well listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Kamu Mau Makan Apa? In English, what do you want to eat? Listen to this conversation about Kamu Mau Makan Apa, which means, what do you want to eat? Siti asks Kevin about the foods he wants to order.
Kamu mau makan apa?
Nasi goreng.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kamu mau makan apa? Which means, what do you want to eat? Mau apa? What do you want? Ingin apa? Which means, what do you want? Menu. Which means, menu. When you are going to eat with someone, you can ask them, Kamu mau makan apa? In English, what do you want to eat? The word mau is usually used in an informal conversation. While in a formal situation, you can use the word ingin. For example, Bapak Ibu ingin makan apa? Which means, what would you like to eat, sir? To respond someone's offer expression, you can answer directly to your choices of foods or repeating the offer expression. For example, Kamu mau makan apa? In English, what do you want to eat? Nasi goreng, gado-gado. In English, nasi goreng, gado-gado. Kamu mau makan apa? In English, what do you want to eat? Saya mau makan nasi goreng. In English, I want to eat nasi goreng. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kamu mau makan apa?
Nasi goreng.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Aku telah tahu kita memang tak mungkin, tapi mengapa?
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a Kroncong song entitled Bersenandung. The song Bersenandung was composed by Darmanto, which tells about someone feel lonely at silent night. She has nobody to accompany her, then she just singing to eliminate loneliness. The song has taught us to always be optimistic and do not feel prolonged sadness. Singing is one of ways to avoid sadness because by singing, we will be more happy. Listener, let's listen to the Kroncong song Bersenandung by Henny Puriandari. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Seperti ini, kau telah pergi dari hidupku. Oh, mengapa untuk
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tak tahu apa yang terjadi antara aku dan kau. Yang ku tahu pasti ku benci. Yang ku tahu
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safiri Adela. See you on the next English program.